How about that worship team today? Didn't we appreciate them? Yeah. Yes. Well, this is not good because I haven't seen you for 1 year and 11 months. See, so I'm beyond overflowing. You know how that is? Yeah, I got my Jones on, not just for Travis Jones, but for the Cornerstone family Jones. It's always a great honor for me to be here. Linda will be here shortly for the second service. I absolutely love, especially opening up the year with Cornerstone. We usually come at this time. Again, I so love it, so appreciate the pastors. Pastor Sean's on his way to, it is Motivation Church, correct? Yeah, I can't wait because I'm going to have to make it over to my brother too, one of these trips. Yeah. Yes. I want to say a couple things before I even begin. In December of 2016, everything that you and I had ever known of the church world that we grew up in changed. In that month, something happened that only the divine could do. I want to quote it for you. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, it says this, "For Zion's sake," Isaiah, the most prolific prophet, messianic prophet in our entire Bible, this chapter comes after his incarnation, after his ministry, and after his ascension. It lines up there. We needed this to happen. There's only certain things that the voice of God changes. "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until salvation go forth as brightness and righteousness as a burning lamp," in the sense it says. I want you to know that the Lord, I wasn't sure if he was going to do it in my lifetime. I wasn't sure if it was going to be in my children's lifetime or my grandchildren. But I stood in believing that God would utter his voice. You see, it's a beautiful thing when he speaks to a man. I love prophecy. We're going to do that all weekend. I love that. I love when God speaks to a man or through a man by the spoken word or by the prophetic word. I love that. Or by a woman. I love when he has at times spoken through angels through our scriptures. It's beautiful. But when God speaks in the earth, his voice, the earth trembles at the voice of the Almighty. And I want you to know this morning, for the whole entire year of 2017 till this year and through this year, it has continued, that the voice of God is shaking the earth worldwide. I want you to know, though, it is absolutely positive for you and I. I want you to have an expectation of salvation coming to our families like we've never experienced before. I want us again to begin, grandfathers and dads and moms, grandmothers, uncles and aunts, to re-embrace the promise of God that you've been believing for. There's things that I knew he put in my heart 40 years ago. It'll be 40 years that I've been saved, longer than I've been, than my salvation has been longer than I've ever known life to be. There were things that he said then that I wasn't sure he was going to do. I want you to know something. It's not coming. It is here. The greatest days we've ever known of the kingdom of God have arrived. They are here now. And we can anticipate him doing things that we can only dream about. Things that we read in the scriptures that we wondered if it was only going to be a history lesson. Please encourage those who have been discouraged. I've got friends who came into the kingdom at the same time as me who are super discouraged because they thought the promise was not true. They thought the prophetic word was not real because they've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I want you to call them up today and tell them the wait is over. God is doing the very thing he declared he would do. Righteousness, the righteousness is going throughout the earth. He's causing things to be that only he could cause to be. Unprecedented. We planted a church and already there's been a growth here. We haven't seen it, but this is the day for you and I to believe it. I love verse 2 because this has already happened. He's already uttered his voice. The earth is shaking. Don't be afraid of it. The whole earth doesn't understand what's happening, but it is so positive for you and I. It must be before the next thing happens. And the Gentiles, verse 2, which has been my dream. Can you imagine? The world will see our righteousness. Well, if that's going to happen, then something's got to be really right with us. Only God can do certain things. You know that? The appearing of Jesus Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ and the glory of God affect us in a way nothing affects us. We were never to live without the fullness of God dwelling in the earth to such a degree that they would never take prayer out of school because God would be so present. They wouldn't even have to, they would just fall on their knees because of his awesomeness. Yeah, I know, I'm dreaming, right? You better believe it. But what I'm saying to you this morning is the dream isn't a dream anymore. The dream is a reality. The greatest days we've ever known are here, and the greater days are yet to come. I like this last part before I even begin this morning. It's amazing because I wanted to come and speak about these two things, the voice of the Lord in the earth and the glory of God. I thought, how am I going to do this? And the Gentiles shall see your righteousness. Something's changing where the world was not interested in us. That's all changed. Where the world didn't care about us. That's all changed. Because something's happening with us. But something's happening in the world simultaneously. Look at this latter part of verse 2. And all kings shall see your glory. The king in America, the king in Russia, the king in Korea, the king in the Philippines, the king in Brazil, the king in Argentina, you name the king. Something's happening that they are going to visibly see the glory of God upon us. Okay, I'm going to just do this by myself, all right? You sit there. Yo! I knew you would do it. I knew it. You be called by a new name. I don't have time to go into it. Probably with the eldership on Monday morning, I'm gonna probably take Isaiah 62 and talk to us about it. It's happening now as we speak. So I just want to say it again in case I don't say it for the rest of the time I'm with us. This is the day to re-embrace the promise of God. Dads and moms, I'm one of them. Grandpa and grandmother, I'm one of them. Uncle Nat, I'm one of them. This is the day to believe for our children, for God to do something we thought maybe could never happen. This is the day for us to believe salvation coming to our house, coming to our homes, coming to our neighborhood, coming to our communities, to our cities, to the nations of the world. It's not coming. It is here. It is just the time for you and I to believe. But the glory of God and the dimensions of God that we've been living without have come to an end. All the kings of the earth shall see our glory. Exodus chapter 33. Thank you, my friends, for helping me with those verses. Are you okay? Do you believe it? Yeah. It's going to be nice because I'm not going to have to convince you at all. Watch and see. I should say taste and see. Once you taste and see, you have to taste again. And when you taste again, you see. And when you see, you got to taste again. And once you taste again, you... And then when you see, you got to... Oh, yeah. Come on, he's got it going. Exodus chapter 33. I love this man. I love this time period. You've been reading it. He's already... has the vision of the tabernacle to be built on the earth, a shadow of something in the heavens. He has this inner cry that is in every one of us. But because of it being before the coming of the Son, he would have a limitation, but it isn't every one of us, this cry. And he said, Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Let's pray. Father, so thank you for this honor of mine. You know this already. I've been saying it for years, since the first day that I came to this church, probably almost 13 years ago. I remain honored, humbled, and privileged to be here. What a moment. This has always been a great church with a great destiny and a great future. She's there. Father, in all of our lives this morning, illuminate us, beginning with me. Let us see like never before. Begin with me. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ and of your kingdom be ours this morning. Let us have courage, not not an antagonistic spirit, not a rebellion, not an anti-spirit. None of those things are of you. But let us have a courageous spirit. Let the word to Joshua be ours. Be very courageous. Don't just encourage us, but courage us this morning to believe you. I love this about you. You love the impossible. That's where we live. Impossible is where we live. Father, I thank you for that. Grace abundantly upon us this morning, this weekend, in Jesus' name, amen. I've got to step back from Mount Sinai, in the lower part of the Sinai Peninsula. This thick cloud sat on it. And out of it came lightnings and thunders. It was the glory of God. But it was in an image that the writers can write about it. And the children of Israel all shook, man. They said to Big Mo, yo, you go. We're not interested. Just tell us what he says. It was a scary. The New Testament will say that Mount Sinai literally shook at the presence of the Lord. You see, the presence of the Lord and the glory of God accomplishes something nothing else does. But before I come here, I've got to take us back to the origin of this glory of God. The word is kabod. Of course, it means weighty. Like, really, the word for us would be awe. Oh, yeah. But it's splendor, beauty, it's majesty. It's not scary. It's not fearful. They saw it and it appeared that way to them. But that's what the word means. The New Testament word is doxa. We're going to see that in just a little bit. It means in three ways. It's a thought. It starts off with a thought. It's glorious. You're thinking about something like, Pastor Brendan is so good looking. But it's a thought. I didn't say it yet. It's a thought. Or Pastor Sean really has gotten younger looking. I don't know what the story is on that. Then my thought becomes a word. And I say, my thought is, boy, Pastor Brendan really is one handsome guy. But Hannah still looks like she's a teenager. What I just did was I gave them glory. Not God's glory, but I just said something that was splendorous. I said something that was bright, majestic, beautiful. That's the word. The greatest definition of it, though, is what Jesus had. He was the express image of the glory of God. He was the expression of what was invisible at one time, everything about him. I will say this to you, is the hope of glory that we're looking for, but it's going to be Christ in us that is that hope of this glory, all right? To simplify it, this is not an easy thing this morning, but I'm going to make it that way. I've got to go back. Before Moses, before Abraham, before creation visible, before creation invisible, I've got to go back here. It was just three of them. There was the Father, who is the dreamer. Oh, yeah. The Word, who simply speaks, and everything reacts to it, just like he's already done. He spoke it to the earth. The earth trembles at the voice of the Almighty, not afraid of trembling. It's trembling because righteousness is going forth throughout the earth. The righteousness, our righteousness follows the righteousness. And then the Spirit, who is the physical architect, if you will, the power of the Godhead. The Spirit of God will always be here. The Word of God is going to be incarnate in the future. The Father had a dream, always. This is eternity. His dream, in ultimate intention, was that creation, when he created, would have this thing that they had. What was it? An intimacy, a love affair that was beyond anything any human could ever even believe, conceive. Even though the love that we have, my love with Linda, is just amazing, it pales to this love. That's why he kept trying to say, so God so loved the world, they just never got it. They thought he was angry and upset. Oh, no. So they created first this invisible world. I just want to show it to you. Angels first, innumerable angels. beasts, seraphim and cherubim, they were created for this sole purpose. They give him glory. It's this heaven where he dwells, but he gets glory there, so glory fills the heaven. You with me? The prophet Isaiah will be the first one to really see it. He's there, and King Uzziah dies, and he has a vision. He looks up, and there is the temple of God, and he sees God in it and this fire that's on him. Of course, he's not on fire. It's going to be something about this glory. And his train, his robe fills it. And an angel says to another angel, holy, he didn't say it to the Lord. He said to the angel, he looked at his, because he was there. I mean, God was there. And the angel couldn't help but to say, holy, holy, holy. And the other angel said, dude, you're right. Holy, holy. And all of a sudden, the temple was filled with smoke. And the temple shook. Literally, the doors shook. You see, when he's given glory, nothing contains it. That's why the New Testament writer will say, listen, when two of you three are gathered together, in my name, there I am. Why? Because we're saying, hey, how you doing? Good. Jesus is good, isn't he? Yeah. Whoop. You remember Moses built the tabernacle. You read it already, remember? Remember the cherubim sitting on the mercy seat faced each other. They were called cherubims of glory. They were made of solid gold. That's not why. Because what they did was he came between them and spoke. He's always between because something's happening. So he sees it. Then Daniel, almost 200 years later, he has a vision in the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, and he sees the Ancient of Days sitting on his throne, and his train fills the temple, and thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands are ministering unto him. John has the best view. He will be on the Isle of Patmos, and all of a sudden, he'll be in the spirit, but then he'll hear a voice, and the voice says, come up hither. And John will look up, and there is a door opened. Well, we know Isaiah looked up. We know Daniel looked up, but all of a sudden, John comes, and he's looking in, and he describes it to us. There he is, the Lamb slain, and the Father on the throne. And he sees and he hears these angels saying, holy, holy, holy. And the elders respond. And I'm glad they didn't sing it because I can't sing. So in heaven is singing and speaking. And they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy to his honor and glory. All this is going on up here. What's happening in the heavens? He's getting glory. Excuse me. They're thinking he's holy, then they're saying he's holy, and this place is filled with John does filled with his glory. But when John sees it, it's not a cloud, it's not thick darkness, it's nothing. It's just glory. You okay? You with me? There's these beasts up there, four of them. One has the face of a man, one has the face of an eagle, an oxen, and a lion. They're going to represent another prophet, which I probably won't get to. He's going to have a similar vision of this glory. Here it is. The heavens are filled with his glory. He will say to Moses, as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. It's not a thick darkness, it's not a cloud, it's not smoke. When Moses finished the tabernacle, you read it. The people would be there and the glory of God would come like fire and it would fill the temple like smoke so that nobody can enter in. When it's there, it's impossible to get in the Old Testament. You're going to find, I'm not going to say it though, but for you and I, it was the very place of our existence. We were never to live without it. So now it's in the heavens. You with me? God is getting it. He is glorious. There's the glory of God. He's majestic, beautiful, splendorous. He is, as you know, awesome. Yeah. We're in awe of that glory. It had never left the heavens, though. Not yet. It was always there. I want us to know this morning, it's his atmosphere. Can I use that term? He dwells in glory. It's where he lives. It's how he lives. He lives. It's like his oxygen. Now, I could say this to you. If I was talking to people who weren't believing, they would think, well, that's weird. I mean, what is he like? He's got to have his ego built. Oh, no. He's without ego. It's the atmosphere. He dwells in it. That's why we can't help. Even when we're walking in the mall, you just got this sense of like, I do it all the time. I do it in the gym all the time. I'll do it in the gym while I'm here. Just kind of like just standing there going, Just have to. Because you're like, man, did you hear that song? Yeah. You feel it, don't you? That works sometimes. You just feel like you got to do it. They say, you wave at me. Oh, yeah. How you doing? It's in us to give him glory. What I want to awaken in us is we want to see your glory. It's in us. He will say to Moses, you can't see it. I will hide you and you can see the backside, but you cannot see my face. That's because someone had to come that would open up the place that we could see his face. We're living in a no limitation day, right? Okay, so Noah, I'll just start there. Well, Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. So far, he has spoken, but we've never seen anything else. We now know that in the heavens it's glorious, it's glory. Even the prophet Isaiah was blown away. Daniel, at this age, this amazing man, was completely. He was like, "Are you kidding me? What's going on, Daniel? I saw the Ancient of Days. It just does something to you." Oh, you're absolutely right. Whenever we see him, we're immediately changed to that same image. Can I quote another verse for you? So we're looking into a glass darkly. I probably won't get to this at all. And we're beholding, as it were, the glory of the Lord, but we're changed that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit. Oh, you guys are too educated. I'm making this too simple. Just telling you about the place I live, where we're always to, and we're born from that place, that we would live from that place. All of a sudden, it's Moses' day. Oh my God, what a demonstration of power. 10 plagues, shook the world, a demonstration of power that nobody was sure, even his people weren't sure, even the big Mo was not like, I don't know, I can't even talk, I don't know, how can I believe that? We have a great history. But then they come to Mount Sinai, and it's amazing. It's only 3 months from the deliverance, and they're already being moaning, complaining. Imagine that. Only 3 months. 3 months. I'm still happy from the first miracle I saw 40 years ago. 3 months, they're already going, we don't got this. I don't care about any of this. Why are we here? I don't know why you brought us out here. There's nothing to eat. We're in a desert. What good is this? I'm thinking like, what? All of a sudden, this thick, dark cloud comes. It's the first time the glory of God is in the earth. We have to take note. First time. What happens? Wow, the glory of God does something. First of all, it makes every mountain that's in our lives quake at him simply being there. You know, the New Testament writers say, you've not been called to Mount Sinai. You've been called to Mount Zion. That's exactly right. Because we're not afraid anymore, because that came for a reason, for us to see it visibly. But the glory of God shakes every mountain. It did another thing, which is good for me. It shut everyone's mouth. It did. Everyone's. They were complaining every time Korah's rebellion. 40 years of it. We have 40 years of this constant thing of the complaining, moaning. Poor Moses. I would have quit. When he said to Moses, I want to take everybody out and start with you. I would say, like, best news I've ever heard. Just a whole generation of J's. We could have J thick hair, J long hair, J Latino, J black, which I always try to do, J Afro, J Mohawk. Sorry, dads and moms, you may not like the Mohawk thing, but you know, I mean, J blue hair, J red hair, J pink hair. A whole generation of J's. But not Moses, though. He says, it was a test for Moses' heart. No, man, you can't do that. Then the whole world, Egypt will say, you could deliver them, but you couldn't keep them. And that's when the Lord said, okay, fine. But I'll tell you this. As I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. Moses would never see it. But I want you to know, we are and will see. Before the kings of this earth ever see it, we will see it. It shut all their mouths. At night, it was a pillar of fire. So in the dark, in the nighttime, when it was so cold, they were all warm. Can you, just? I know you probably realize this, but we do realize that this people despised him. This generation was hard-hearted and rebellious, yet he brought his glory to them by night and by day. He fed them 7 days a week. Their clothes had wear out for 40 years. They rebelled against him. They were hard-hearted. He was just being a good, good father. But that was not his dream. That was simply him caring for his people. Isn't it amazing? No matter how rebellious I could get or how idiotic I could be or how off I could be, he'll never stop loving me, never stop caring for me. I don't have to worry about Wall Street. I don't have to worry about this world's economy. I don't have to worry about that. If he has to have a raven fly over my house or our houses and bring bread and meat every day, he'll do it. But that's not his promise. That's not what he was looking for. He was looking for the day when his son would come, and in his ascension, every generation would experience the glory of God in unprecedented dimensions, that the magnifying of God, that Jesus Christ would be so tangible that they'd gather in Washington and would have to hit their knees to acknowledge, yo, he is here. I came this weekend to tell you that the Lord has uttered his voice and the whole earth is shaking, and that the righteousness has gone forth as brightness, and salvation as a lamp that burneth throughout the entire world. Salvation's coming to our world unprecedented degrees. You could look at it and say, well, Jay must be an old man now because he's even believing in his own dreams. No, not likely, because this chapter I've spoken out of for 30 years, but from a whole different angle, Isaiah chapter 62. Not anymore, because I stood my watch, as many of you have, knowing that he was the only one that could change it. But when, and I knew he would, but I didn't know when he would do it. And if he did it in my son's generation, I was happier, my grandson's. But I knew for sure he would keep his word. I want you to know he didn't wait for another day. He's doing it, and he's done it. But the glory of God, I so want to awaken us that we want to behold it. We want to see you. We want the revelation and the manifestation of Jesus Christ in an unprecedented day, that when the people of the world look at us, they'll say, you know what? We see him. We see him. We see him. That's always been my dream. Okay, I'm 5 minutes into my other time period. So I got to do a couple things. All right, a couple. So we're recording, right? Good. So you must know that the Lord is increasing his word and his spirit upon your life. And that God, even though sometimes you don't know the direction, sometimes you don't know the future, it seems like when you make a plan, it's just not there, and you're forging out the road and you're laying all the bricks, and it just seems like that's not the right way. It isn't a confusing thing so much. It isn't a thing that he would be evasive with you. It's not that. But he's building a faith within you and a trust within you that's highly unusual, but for the coming generations. He's building with you the ability to seek his face even when it seems like it can't be found. See, he's always been watching, and he's always had this great favor upon you. Much like the king looked at Esther, had a great favor upon her because of the spirit that was within her. Not just her beauty as you have, but there was something within her that was different. And so the Lord has set his hand upon you, even in your mother's womb, and has had these whole times, but he's increasing it. That's what I'm telling you. The word and the spirit of God is increasing in you so that he might declare and speak into your spirit, and that he would make this word alive to you, and that you would never settle for just someone else's crumbs. So it's good to be taught. I still have teachers. I still have mentors. No matter how old I get, I'm always going to be submissive to people. That's part of who we're supposed to be. But I would never live. I want the manna that's from heaven. I want the mystery of God to be known. I want the world to see him like they've never seen him. I don't want him to be a fairy tale, some book legend. Oh, no, that's not enough for this guy. And that has never been enough for you. And so the Lord is, even now as I've watched you, I turned and I saw you behind me, just out of the corner of my eye, and the Lord was so awakened in his throne at what he is doing in his plan. It's deep and it's wide and it's far, and it will not happen. You're just in a day of preparation. Remember Joseph. Remember Esther. Remember Deborah. Remember Hannah. Remember these that have gone before you, that the Lord kept his word despite what they might have thought or others might have thought. He kept his word. He did exceedingly abundantly above all that they could even think or ask for, and he will be no different with you. So you got to, where is he? Oh, you're right here. Good. So you got to watch me pull on my shirt if I start to get too close to the thing. So is this your family here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I just want to say, okay, well, they're awesome. Good. So listen, a couple things is the Lord is really at the place of restoring your life and your family's life. You know, sometimes we always do this. We all look back and go, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? You were always this, you know, this girl that was like in the starting blocks always. Your poor parents, you were so hyper. I mean, they could never get you to take a nap or rest, or you were up and down, couldn't get you to sit. It was just ridiculous. They were like going crazy. What are we going to do with this girl? She's wearing us out. They were only 22, 23 years old. They were already tired. We don't know what we're going to do with it. And so, but some of that's followed. The teenage years were a little difficult because you never were happy or satisfied. It's okay. This is not downing you at all. What I want you to know is the Lord's been watching. And isn't it amazing? Because sometimes when we're living our lives as teenagers, sometimes things are taken from us that we don't necessarily want. Sometimes we just sell things off. Sometimes things are stolen. All of us have had it. Isn't it amazing, though, when he said he came to restore our lives? Well, I thought, well, maybe he was just bringing me to heaven. Oh, no. That was the easy part. No. I thought, well, maybe he was just going to make a couple of things. Oh, no. He was going to restore not just the days, the minutes, the moments, but the years. He was restoring the years. And because he lives in eternity, he can go back in my time. He doesn't bring me back here and make me relive issues. But he goes back in my life, and he restores things. How does he do it? The things that used to bother me all my life, he healed them, and they don't bother me anymore. Can you imagine, you know, scientists will say if you put a rock in someone's shoe and let them walk in a year, even when you pull the rock out, they'll still walk like this. Sometimes things happen to us, and we vow that'll never happen to me again. But it causes us to walk this way. And what the Lord does, he comes and heals us. And my sisters, you're amazingly beautiful. You're an amazing woman. But the Lord has come to bring you to himself that you'd be fully his, that you'd be able to trust him as a man, him as a father, him as an authority figure, that you'd be able to release everything to him. And girl, not only is the Lord in the process of restoring, rebuilding, and reestablishing you, but you'll see him do it with your family. You'll see him do what's not possible to be done. So don't plan it that you're already thinking how it could be done. Don't do that. Don't be thinking how it's going to be done, how it can be planned out. Don't go that way. That's how you do things. No, because then if it doesn't work that way, you think, well, where's the Lord? No, don't do that. Just lay at his feet and go enjoy your life. He will see everything to its time and to its place. So, oh, it is, huh? Dude, she has better hair than you. I saw your hair this morning. I thought, that's bad hair. I thought, that bad by my born terms is good, just so you'll know. That's nasty hair. That's nastier. I love that. See, come on, Jay, with that head, that hair, right there. Come on, that would be good. And I can move it around. I would love that. We have to put that in the Jay generation, that hair right there. Got to have that. So without you realizing it, though, the enemy, and I don't really like using his name, part of it was just because of life, the two of you. There were trappings ahead, not big ones. They weren't trappings to so much. They're snares. You know what snares do? If I get snared in my foot, what happens now is I walk with a limp. You know, things happen. So I can't really run the race. I kind of do this kind of a... But he brought us in that we could run the race. We're Heisman. Every one of us, we're Heisman. We're going for the gold. Every one of us are going. We're not competing with each other, but the prize is the goal. And he comes to make sure that all the snares are gone, that they're taken out. Sometimes they could be religious snares. Sometimes they could be color snares. Sometimes they could be economical snares. Because I grew up in a very poor family. So if we just had enough to eat, we'd be happy. Well, when I get in this kingdom, the Lord says, I'm just happy to be eating. He goes, well, I'm glad you're happy, Jay. But my intent is not to make you happy, dude. My intent is to bring it to the finish line. I thought, finish line? See, that's why I'm like I am, because it's like, dude. I mean, how can you not be? And so you have to know that the Lord's really has adjusted your future to bring a prosperity, because you're both super intelligent, very much so. And you're both motivated in some things, not so motivated in other things. And so what the Lord's doing is he's motivating in all things. Even between the two of you, there's been some reconciliation of past days and past years. The two of you have really, even after this winter, this Christmas through, even family dynamic has been different. It's kind of fired up the love, if you will. Not in a bad way. Like, you've got guys who are thinking, that's good. No, not that. They just love each other. In the kitchen, in the mall, at the car, even after fighting. Hey, that's real. Right? Lynn and I only fight when we're driving. For some reason, I can't drive. I don't see stop signs in cars. And I don't know I didn't realize that red means stop. I didn't know. But she helps me with that. I'm learning now. And she has a brake on her side of the car. It's amazing to me. And she has a handbrake, too. I just didn't know. But I'm learning, see? All right, look at all the guys like this. I don't know what he's talking about, hon. I never have those kind of issues ever. Yeah, even after that, though, because you're both strong. But you're going to see the Lord between the two of you really work a dynamic, because you both have this gospel that's traveled through your generations. You have the gospel in sound and the gospel in word. And some of it the Lord is washing clean, but some of it he's reestablishing with the two of you. My sister, you really have a gift, not only in song, but in spoken word, in poetic. You have an amazing ability with children, because you're a leader, girl, but you get right up in their face because you got the game. Yeah. And it's just not because of the colors. It's because your grandmother was this way and your great-grandmother was this way. Especially your grandmother. It's exactly how she was. And so the Lord's reviving it. Because in some ways, you don't want to do any more with kids. You know what I mean? I want to kind of get done with kids. But you were born to teach them. Listen, I'm 62. And I still do teenagers everywhere I go. It's teenagers. And people say to me, Jay, my friends are like a bad backside. I don't know if we can keep up with teenagers. I say, are you kidding me? The teenagers keep me alive. I love being with them. And they'll say to me, you still have something to say? No, I have something to say, but he really has something to say. So when you taste it from his mouth, you can't help but to get pumped up about it. But you really are been given to teach and train and mentor the younger generations. That's really your strength. He knows, because you teach and mentor him sometimes. He don't like it, but you do sometimes. Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit. I mean, you know, yeah. Linda was teaching me how to dust. I thought you dust the visible stuff. That's good dusting. I didn't realize you got to move stuff and dust. That's a lot of work. That's not my version of dusting and her version of dusting were not the same. So I had to be taught how to dust. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. So just know that the Lord is really commanding the blessing on you. That's why the snares he's protecting, especially the financial. So be prepared for the Lord to increase things. Be diligent. Doesn't matter what anyone says or does. Doesn't matter if they say thank you. You're doing it unto him, because he really wants to set you apart and be noticed by those who are in charge. And then trust the Lord as far as the increases. But he does. Dream home, house, what you want. The Lord will do it. I mean, not 12 Maseratis. Get real. Be realistic, because you need to give to children, give to the kingdom. They'll come to your house. Their parents will fight. They'll come to your house. They'll come to your house because of this mentoring, teaching gift that you have. And they'll come in, and you'll be there for them. And sometimes you'll have to give money. Sometimes you'll have to do something for them. So the Lord's going to increase those so that you can give out. But you know you give out. All the time. Amen. Stand with me. Yeah. Okay. Please stand. Thanks, Pastor. Not to re-say it, but I just want to say it this way from the beginning. Let us re-grip again the promise of God for our families, salvation. It's just not coming to heaven. It's a full thing. And that the righteousness is going forth throughout the world, the entire earth. It's an earth thing. Don't keep listening to the news. If you want to do that, fine. But don't be shaken by the news. Don't be shaken because they're shaken. Don't be shaken. It's positive for us. Everything that be shaken shall be shaken. That will remain and remain. We have a kingdom, to finish the verse, that cannot be removed. Not only is it not being removed, it's about to elevate. Father, I thank you for this morning, for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I'm asking that you strengthen us. Begin with me. Let a passion, as Moses, I want to see your glory, the splendor, the majesty, the beauty of my God. We are never to live without it. And Lord, I anxiously look for the word of the Lord and the promise of God that you fulfilled in my life and in my family's life and in the lives of our cities and our nations. In Jesus' name, amen.